Welcome to the Crosslands Church podcast. Our mission, to help you experience the life with God you've been missing. And now, a message for you.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us here at Crosslands Church this morning. It's great to have you with us. You know, a number of years ago, I was at work in the office and somebody came in off the street and they were looking for some food and they said they were hungry. And that would happen from time to time. And so I said, you know what, let me just take you to Tim Hortons for lunch. So we walked across the road, we went to Tim Hortons, and then he started sharing his story. And his story was that he had traveled across Canada from British Columbia, and he had become aware of a conspiracy against the government at a rave in sort of the rural area of British Columbia. And he had slowly made his way across Canada, and he was actually on his way to Ottawa to try to meet with the Prime Minister. And it was a very difficult task, but he was encouraged because he knew that Taylor Swift was on his side. And Taylor Swift was supporting him in this. And it became very clear, very quickly, that this guy was very delusional. And what do you do in that situation? I gave him food and prayed with him in Tim Hortons and kind of sent him on his way because there was really not much else I could do. And that sort of raises a question. We've talked a lot about hearing from God, but at what point do we know that we're not delusional? At what point do we know that we can actually trust what we believe God is saying to us? And so today, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about how to listen for God's guidance in a way that we can know that God is actually speaking to us and we're not just making things up. If you're joining with us now for the first time ever or the first time after quite a few weeks, I just want to say very quickly, we have implemented a mask policy at Crosslands Church, and it's only when people are on stage and socially distanced that they're not wearing masks. When they're off stage, they do. And so I just want to, I'm saying this weekly so that people are confident that we are adhering to local requirements for wearing masks indoors. So that said, normally on a Sunday morning, we would invite text messages. If you have questions, or not really text messages, but questions on the YouTube chat. And today we will not be doing entertaining those questions because I'm actually not really here. I'm away on vacation. This is being pre-recorded, but I would still welcome you to have conversation in the YouTube chat because we have all the other pastors at Crosslands Church are on the YouTube chat and everyone else, like, be part of the conversation. Put in your comments, put in your questions, and let the conversation happen even while I'm speaking. So we all have confidence in our own ideas and our own perspectives and our own perceptions. What's funny about that is that sometimes we change our minds on things. And so what happens to the old ideas we have? What do we do with that? Maybe you've had a friend that was dating somebody and they're in love with that person and they love this person, they're the best person in the world. And then something happens where there's a betrayal. There's a rift in the relationship, and your good friend is now upset at that person, and they're mad at that person, and they get you on board, and they say, like, I'm going to break up with them, I can't stand them, and they're the worst thing that ever happened to me, and you start feeling their feelings. You start feeling, yeah, they are an awful person. They wrecked your life. And then a week later, they're back together again. You go, what's going on? I thought you hated them. You made me hate them, and now you're back together. And what do we do with that? Now we have to turn around and love that person again. And the thing is that we do change our minds. I'm going to start today with a verse from Jeremiah in the Old Testament. It's Jeremiah 17, verse 9. It says this: the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? Now that sounds really depressing, because when it comes to our walk with God, our relationship with God, that's a challenge. If we believe we're hearing from God, how do we know we really are? Or whether it's our own heart deceiving us. Can we really trust what we believe that we're hearing, especially when our very hearing mechanism is suspect or subject to deception? So we have some challenges here. First of all, the biblical perspective, the big picture perspective, says that there is an enemy of your soul. The Bible calls it the accuser or the devil. And his primary mechanism is deception. It starts from the very beginning. You see that in Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve are in the garden, and the serpent comes up to Eve and says, did God really say? And I mean, maybe this has happened to you, maybe it's happened to somebody you know, where somebody says, I believe God has spoken to me, and you go, that can't be right. And yet, sometimes God really does speak to you, and the question in your mind is, did God really say? We have an enemy of our soul that is out to destroy us. He does it through deception, through distraction, through discouragement, through disqualification, where he says, you are not good enough, and through direct spiritual attacks. And they all start with D. I don't know if you noticed that. I'm pretty proud of myself for that. But the next thing that deceives us is the world, our culture. We said it, I think, probably 4 weeks ago now, that there's an element in our world that is antagonistic and rebellious against God. And so we naturally absorb the perspectives and ideas and worldviews of our culture. And so we're absorbing ideas. We're growing up in a world that is rebellious against God. And so how do we know that what we claim to be hearing from God is actually from God if our core foundational ideas are against God? And then finally, our very selves. Our conscious and subconscious desires. You know, when you come across somebody who says, you know, I've heard from God, and I remember when I was in youth years ago, and there was a young adult in our church, and he said, you know, God has promised me a red Corvette. And I'm going, I don't think that's true. I think you just want a red Corvette. Now you've convinced yourself that God wants you to have a red Corvette. At some level, proof's in the pudding. If he actually ended up with a red Corvette, well, maybe, but he didn't. So how do we know? How can we be confident? The answer to that is we need to test what we believe God is saying. Now, here's a problem. We talked about this early in the series. Sometimes we implement a filter to what God is saying to us, what we believe God is saying, that actually prevents us from hearing what God says. We have a barrier of skepticism. And if you're a skeptical person or even a cynical person, you need to know I identify with that. I tend to be skeptical. And sometimes even cynical. And so what happens, and I've experienced this, is I'm striving to hear from God, but my skepticism filter intercepts what God might even be saying before I even hear it. And I go, it can't be. And so then we prevent ourselves from hearing from God, our own skepticism, our own willfulness. If you approach God with, please speak to me, but I've already decided I don't want to do certain things, I've not submitted myself completely to you, you're not gonna hear what he's saying. So we put our filters ahead. But the answer to that, the response, does not mean we suspend all evaluation, all skepticism, and we just naively accept whatever pops into our head, because that's a very dangerous road to go on. So are we at an impasse? Especially when we're stressed, when the emotions are high, when we're in a dilemma, we're facing a difficult decision. We talked about this a few weeks ago, right? When you get into the fight or flight mode, I'm desperate for an answer. It's going to be this or that. It's limited options. We're not even thinking clearly. How do we hear from God when our own mind prevents us from hearing it? How do we test it appropriately without being naive? And there's a very simple solution. The very simple solution is you apply the test afterwards. So you hear from God, and we talked about the practice of having the conversation where you write it down. That's when we were talking about having that skepticism filter that prevents you from hearing from God, right? You write it down. But afterwards, you test what you wrote down. Quite a few years ago, when I was a youth pastor here, there was another church in town that came from a tradition that's different from ours. It was a tradition that I would say wasn't so readily familiar with God speaking through people. Okay, so we might call, the word for that is prophecy in the New Testament, where God gives somebody a message for somebody else. And what happened in this church is their youth group went down to Mexico on a mission trip, and they had an experience with God like they'd never had before. And there were people that were coming into an experience of these spiritual gifts. We've talked about that in March when we had our gift series. And in these spiritual gifts, there were people that were, you know, speaking in other languages by the power of the Spirit for the first time. There were people that were prophesying to one another for the first time. And the youth pastor at one point called me and said, you know, we're not used to this. Can you come in? Because I think things are going a little bit out of control. They're going beyond what they should be. And this is actually quite typical of what happens when people experience this. And it's very exciting. And it's a very powerful experience. And then people start going beyond what God is saying. And one way that happens is you have people telling somebody else things like who you're going to marry and what your career is going to be. And so that was happening. She had a bunch of young adults now. And I remember one of the kids that was involved in that youth group actually came to this church. And he said, you know, like, I've been dating this girl. And somebody, like, gave a message from God and said, that's the girl you're going to marry. And I'm going, I don't think that's true. hindsight, he didn't marry that girl. He married somebody else. And so how do we implement those tests? We had a girl that was part of our church here, and she was a bit younger. She was in our kids program, and she would confidently tell us that God spoke to her all the time. And she saw messages from God in the bark of tree, of a tree, in a bark of tree. She saw, like, it was like the bark formed a message from God. I'm going, okay, could be, but I doubt it. So the question isn't, does God speak? God speaks. The question isn't, does God want to speak? God does want to speak. The question isn't, can we hear and understand? We can hear and understand. The question is, how do we test it to know that it's real? Because that has to happen, or we can go into all kinds of bad decisions and deceptions and all of that. Can we know? Can we be confident? Here, we're going to look at a few passages of Scripture. Actually, just a couple right now. First one is 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 19 to 21 says this, "Do not stifle the Holy Spirit." So the idea is that God wants to speak to you. He speaks to you through the Spirit, whether it's through Scripture, whether it's a still voice in your head, whether it's through somebody else. He speaks through His Spirit. And when we become skeptical and cynical, we cut that off. We stifle what the Spirit wants to do. We stifle what God's Spirit wants to say. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Don't scoff at prophecies. And again, prophecies is when God is speaking to you through another person. Don't scoff at it. But test everything that is said. And then hold on to what is good. There's a corollary there. Hold on to what is good means reject what is not. The expectation is that we test what we believe God is saying to us through His Rhema word. We talked about that 2 weeks ago, and you probably heard a little bit about that last week. And we test what God is saying to us through other people so that we are not deceived. I'm going to read 1 John 4:1. Our default translation here at Crossland Church is the New Living Translation. This is what it says in the New Living Translation. It says, "Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God, for there are many false prophets in the world." I don't really like the way that was translated, because the default is that it's not don't believe everyone. It's only applying to people. And it's not always just people that give us messages from God, because sometimes it's a spiritual message in our head. Sometimes it's what comes to us, what we think comes to us from Scripture, but it's a wrong interpretation. I really like, so for today, I'm going to go with the New International Version, the NIV. It says this, 1 John 4:1. "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God." So whether it's from another human being, a spirit through a human being, or whether it's a spirit in your own head or on the bark of a tree, whatever. Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they're from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. The specific context here, when John is writing this letter, is there was a belief system called Gnosticism. It had to do with secret knowledge, and it was a little bit messed up, and it was certainly different from Christianity. And Gnosticism, full-blown Gnosticism, probably emerged after this was written, but the early stages of it were around. And so John is dealing with that there were people that were teaching things like Jesus never actually came to earth in the flesh. He was like sort of a spirit being that almost possessed a normal human being, but the normal human being wasn't Jesus. And so John is dealing with that, but the principle applies beyond that. There are things, there are personalities or spirits that will communicate with you. And I've mentioned this in the past, sometimes an idea pops in your head and it's in first person, so you think it's your own idea. You know, when you think, I suck, I am bad, that's sometimes an accusation of the enemy. And we believe that it's ours and we take it on. But not every voice that pops in your head is legitimate. Not everyone is from God. Not every time you pick up Scripture is it God speaking to you. We told the story a couple of weeks ago about Jesus being tested in the wilderness, being tempted by the devil. And at one point, the devil quotes Scripture to him. And Jesus quotes Scripture back. And remember that difference between God's spoken word and the written word. The written word can be distorted. That's why we have Scripture wars and things like that. So I don't want to just flatten this to apply what other people say, as in the New Living Translation, but we can neglect to test our perception of what we believe God is saying. And when that happens, we can be in trouble. I have in my pocket a wallet. I have a credit card. I got a couple, actually. One's my own, one's for work. And if you ever buy something online, you enter in the credit card, and sometimes you enter it in, you make a mistake. Maybe you don't. I've done it before, and it immediately says, that's wrong. It's not a credit. Well, how does it know it's wrong? How does the software online know that I entered my credit card online? Wrong, because how did I know I missed a digit or something? Why isn't it just somebody else's credit card? Because the last digit or two, and this applies to your social insurance number, it applies to credit cards, bank cards, the last two digits are test numbers. So they have a formula that all the other numbers have to add up a certain way, and it should equal, like part of that number is represented by the two test numbers at the back, on the back end. I think it's two of them, which means there's... You have to. Only 1 in 100 sets of numbers for your credit card is actually valid. So you can get it wrong. You might chance out that it's somebody else's credit card, but if you get it wrong and the test numbers at the end don't match, then it automatically recognizes this is not a valid credit card number. That's exactly the same way this works. So we have a couple of tests. We actually have a lot of tests, but I'm only going to cover a couple today, the first two. First one is Scripture itself. We talked a couple of weeks ago about the Scripture being the primary way to hear from God. We learned last week that there are other ways to hear from God, but Scripture is primary. It's first and foundational. And so when people say, I believe God is speaking to me, he's giving me life direction or whatever, and they say something and it directly contradicts clear teaching of Scripture, and I don't mean like a little niggly thing, but a big thing. Heard people say sometimes, I had a conversation with somebody once, and they were basically saying that God told them to divorce their wife and marry somebody else. No, that directly contradicts Scripture, where God says, I hate divorce. And you only have to look at the fallout of divorce to see the damage and the destruction that it causes. And yes, when you're in a difficult relationship, it's really difficult. And sometimes you need an absolute miracle to make it work. When Jesus is confronted by the religious leaders, and one of the questions they ask him is it okay to divorce somebody for another? That's very specific language in one of the Gospels, for another. In other words, I'm tired of the person I'm with, I prefer somebody else. Jesus says, absolutely not. And that was the case with this person that was talking to me. They said, I found somebody else that is a better fit for me, and God is making this happen. That is absolutely not true. God does not tell you something that contradicts the clear teaching of Scripture. Doesn't do that. So there's a test there. And of course, another test is over time what happens. I mean, that second, he did divorce his wife, he ended up with somebody else, and they lasted just a few months. God doesn't contradict the clear teaching of Scripture. And there are all kinds of fringe issues and interpretive issues that we have to deal with and engage very seriously with. And this is where there's a difference between Bible study and reading to hear, that posture of listening. But there's clear teaching in Scripture that God does not contradict. And there's your first test. He does not contradict Scripture. A second test is Jesus himself. We've said this many times in the series so far. Jesus is the highest revelation of God. And so the character of Jesus, what he is like, who he is like, communicates how God speaks. And so when God tells you, you believe God is telling you something, and it has a tone of revenge and resentment and retaliation, you automatically know this is not God, because that's not how God behaves, as revealed in Jesus. Jesus, self-giving sacrifice, extreme forgiveness, love all the way to death. And so when somebody says, you know, God is speaking to me and telling me that I need to retaliate against that person and make their life miserable, that's not God, because it contradicts the character of Jesus. First test, Scripture. Second test, the character of Jesus. Crossland Church, we have 8 stated values, and the number one stated value is that we believe, or we value, an all-encompassing relationship with Jesus, in which he is the supreme partner. That means he's the one in charge. He's the one that sets the tone. He's the one that sets the bar for what we aim for. In our individualistic society, we tend to set our own bar according to our desires, our whims, our appetites, our instincts. what we want. And yet, as followers of Jesus, he's the one that sets the bar. And so when God is speaking to us, he calls us to attain to the bar where Jesus set it, not to to accommodate our own whims and desires and passions and instincts. And so what's the test? Scripture and Jesus. I find sometimes what we tend to do is we tend to be led by circumstance, not led by Jesus. I knew somebody once who said that when they were younger, they had been called to full-time ministry, and they felt called to go to seminary and pursue that path, and they rejected that call. They walked away from it. And my experience is that the people that have been called to full-time ministry, which is not easy, it's not fun all the time, is very difficult, but if you've been called to full-time ministry and you walk away from that, you will be miserable. Everybody that I've known that's walked away from it is miserable. And so this person, they said, you know, I was called to full-time ministry when I was younger, and I believe God is calling me again. I said, well, you know, good for you. So they were going to put their application in at one of our local seminaries. And a week later or something like that, I asked them, so how's that going? They said, well, it's really expensive. And they said there was only like 7 slots available, and I was late, so I'm not doing it. So circumstance is determining what you're doing? Because if there's 28 applicants for 7 positions, how do you know that God's not going to move your application to the front? How do you know that God will not provide the finances available? Because God doesn't just call us to what we can do on our own. God doesn't just call us to do what circumstances make available to us. Too often, as followers of Jesus, we're led by circumstance rather than led by his calling. Sometimes God will lead us to difficult situations. He'll lead us to a circumstance we can handle because he's going to show us that he can lead us through the circumstance. He's Lord over the circumstance. But we're led by circumstance. As a reminder, God wants us. He wants us to hear him. He wants to guide us. He wants to direct us, and it requires our cooperation. Sometimes we default to the idea that, well, if God wants it to happen, whatever happens is what God wants to happen. That's not true. We have the capability, to our own detriment, of rejecting his call, to rejecting obedience to his direction, of rejecting his voice. Because he created to love us, so he will not force us. And humanity as a whole, in general, has walked away from that. That's why we have such a mess. God wants to guide us. He wants to direct us. Scripture is that first test because Scripture corrects, directs, promises. There's all those kinds of things in Scripture that lead us the right way. And if you remember from a couple of weeks ago, God's spoken word comes to us through the written word, Rhema, through the Logos. God speaks to us in many ways. Scripture is the primary way, and then it branches out from there. But that's why Scripture is a test. So how do you do it? The process is actually very, very simple. It starts with hear. Hear from God. Remove the filter of skepticism. Remove the filter of jadedness or cynicism, which is so easy in today's culture. Write down what you believe God is saying. Just, I don't want to say blindly, but openly. Be open to what God is saying and write it down. Hear first, test next. First hear, then test. You hear from God, you write it down, and then you test it, and you say, is this legitimate? After you write it down. You run it through the test. Is it consistent with Scripture? Is it consistent with the character of Jesus? And there are other tests as well. If you're signed up with the Abide series, with the daily studies, you'll see that there's a lot of other tests as well. But that's just a starting point. Hear first, then test. But there's a necessary third step. That's obey. Because God never tells us something just to tell us something. He always tells us something that demands a response. Whether it's a response of a change in direction of life, whether it's a change in habit, whether it's a response of worship. God never tells us something without an expected response. Hear first, then test, then obey. And this is what you'll find when you do that. The more you go through that cycle, and it's a cycle, the more you do it over and over and over, God's voice becomes clearer and clearer and clearer. If you don't test, you may become increasingly confused because you start making wrong moves. You start second guessing, and rightfully so. But if you hear and test and obey, God's voice becomes increasingly clearer. We learn It's a growing process. And as we learn, God increases the stakes. He calls us higher because remember, Jesus is the standard. We're aiming for the highest standard, which is Jesus himself. That's not something you can get to in one leap. When we place our trust in Jesus, we're immediately placed into the category of God's children, of holy. But our experience is one of growth, daily growth, weekly growth, monthly growth, yearly growth. And we increasingly become more Christ-like. And that is a process. And so God increases the stakes. One of my concerns is as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we are fearful of what he's going to ask us to give up, to do, to undertake, to face. And so we shrink back, we don't hear, we don't test, and we don't obey. And we live small lives. God is calling us to live huge lives, bigger than you can imagine. Bigger than you are capable of doing with your natural gifts, your natural abilities, the things you've learned. Things you can only do living your life hand in hand with God, hearing, testing, and obeying. Luke 12, verse 48 says this, when someone has been given much, much will be required in return. And when someone has been entrusted with much, even more will be required. That is not a call to shrink back. That is a call to strive for more. Greater trust in God, greater depth of obedience, greater familiarity with his voice, and confidence in what he's saying. We are called to live bigger lives than we're living, and that requires becoming familiar with his voice. So this is the choice that we face. We can act, we can move forward blindly. We can respond naively to everything we think that God is putting in our path. We can walk into possible deception. We can blunder into all kinds of really bad life choices by just responding naively to whatever pops into our head or whatever we think we're reading from Scripture. Or we can remain frozen, stifled by confusion and the danger of error. I'm afraid of doing the wrong thing, so I will do nothing. Those are two really bad choices. Moving forward like a bull in a china shop, doing whatever pops in your head and blaming it on God, or doing nothing because you're afraid of doing the wrong thing. But there's a third option. It's the better option. It's moving forward in increasing confidence, in increasing trust in God's direction. And like Peter, who was called to get out of the boat, he put one foot in the water, and he gained confidence, and he got out, and he moved forward. I know if you're familiar with the story, you know, you look at Peter and go, oh, like he looked at the waves and he sank. Yeah, but he got out of the boat. The 11 other disciples did not get out of the boat. Can we respond to God's call on a daily basis? Hear, test, and obey. I think one thing that I've been thinking of recently, this is a tangent, when it comes to Abide, we've been doing the Abide message series, and we've been doing the Abide Bible study, and I've heard very, very positive responses from people, and I think one reason is because there's a sense, there's a feeling of progressive growth, and there's nothing that motivates a human being by regular progressive growth towards a desired goal. And this is what we're doing, this is what we're experiencing. We're learning to hear from God. We're learning to test. We're obeying. And there's a sense of satisfaction and growth and purpose in that. But there's always further direction. God is calling us forward. And we can't do that properly unless we're regularly hearing, testing, and obeying. I want to give you an opportunity today if you're watching and you're not in relationship with God. You haven't even made the first step. How do you make the first step to start a relationship with the God, the creator of the universe, who made you to love you, who made you to hear his voice and respond and move forward with confidence in the life you are called to live? We do this every week. It's as simple as ABC. A, admit your need for him. Maybe you've been blundering through life, doing what you think is best and getting mixed results. This one turned out good. That one didn't turn out good. And maybe you're at the point where you're kind of at a mess. And you'd love to hear, you'd love to know what the creator of the universe has for you to live. It's as simple as ABC. A, admit your need for him. Admit your need to be part of God's family, to be accepted into his family, to have all of your shortcomings and your natural tendency towards self-destruction dealt with taken care of. The old traditional word for that is sin. And it isn't like a list of bad things you've done that for some arbitrary reason God is unhappy with. It's the very core of our nature that does the wrong thing even when we know it. The original word in the Greek is to miss the mark. God has made you to attain to that highest level, and we miss the mark. Sometimes I think we're shooting even at the wrong target. We're incapable of hitting that target without the new life that is given to us by Jesus. That new life Jesus bought for you, Scripture says, through his death and resurrection. He went to the cross to overcome your inferior nature, to overcome your natural tendency to shoot at the wrong target, shoot at the wrong things, to try for the wrong things, to constantly miss. But there's a new life that's available that he made available through his death on the cross, because he came through to the other side and rose again from the dead. He overcomes all of our weakness, all of our shame, all of the wrong things we have done, and says there's a new life available for you. So in that ABC, the B stands for belief, which is not just a mental assent, it's a trust. I trust this Jesus that died for me to buy the life for me that I can live. And then C is commit. Jump all in, both feet. You say no to the past life, you say yes to this life. I'm doing this. I'm banking everything on this because I'm trusting completely. If you want to do that today for the first time, I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer. And I'll pray it and you can make the words your own or even say the words after I say them. Just pray something like this. Father in heaven, I thank you for calling me to the highest level, for calling me into your family. And there's nothing that I've done to earn that or deserve it. But I am trusting in Jesus who made the way for me even when I didn't want it. But I want it now. And so I'm choosing to commit to you today. I'm choosing to say yes to the path that you have for me, to learn to hear your voice, to learn to move forward day by day, week by week, through the rest of my life. I'm committing all the way. I'm saying yes to your offer. I thank you in Jesus' name, amen. And if you're making that decision for the first time today, I'll say this is a best decision you could possibly make, because this is the life you were made for, to live your life hand in hand with your Creator who loves you and has the best life available for you. Now, this is something that you can't do alone. That's why we exist as a community of followers of Jesus. And I would love for you, I'm going to challenge you to connect with us so you can be part of this community, which is right now mostly virtual, but it's still here. We're here to help one another, to walk together in encouragement and accountability. And so connect with us. The easiest way to do that is go to crosslands.live on whatever smart device, computer, phone, or whatever, and click the box that says follow Jesus and give us your contact information. And we'll get a hold of you and we'll help you with next steps. We'll help plug you in to this process. We're going to close in prayer in a minute, but I want to remind everyone that's watching, whether you're a new follower of Jesus, whether you've been doing this for 50 years, the world needs you to jump into God's purposes. There's so much going on, not just in your own life, but in the lives of the people around you. And we are called to be Jesus towards the problems of this world. And so we dare not do nothing. We dare not shrink back in fear of doing the wrong thing and just do nothing. Neither can we just jump in bullheaded and do everything right or wrong, or no matter what. We need to be responding to God's direction. We need to be hearing, listening, and then testing and obeying. And that's our call for each one of us, in relationship with God, in relationship with one another. And so I'm going to close in prayer today with that prayer for you, that you would be able to listen, test, and obey. Father, I thank you for your call for each one of us. I thank you that you are calling us not just into your family, but into a grand purpose. That we have a place to fit in your purpose for the world. Father, I pray that you would help us to grow in our recognition of your voice, that we would listen on a daily basis. We would listen to what you are saying to us. We would test it so that we are not deceived. and that we would step forward in obedience to what you are saying. And Father, as we go through that process, help us to become increasingly confident and familiar with the sound of your voice, that we would walk forward in a relationship with you and in your purposes for the world. And I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to the Crosslands Church podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or the Google Play Store so that it comes straight to your device. And to find out more about Crosslands Church, you can visit us at crosslands.ca. Join us next week for another message to help you experience the life with God you've been missing.